Well, we're talking snooker now because Snooker's Top Stars will be heading here to the Brentwood Centre for the first time next week, and tickets are on sale now. The Essex venue will host the BetVictor English Open, a world ranking event and part of the Home Nation Series from December the 12th to the 18th. Over 70 players, including the top 16 seeds, will be on the green bays at the Brentwood Centre. Winners in recent years include Ronnie O'Sullivan, Judd Trump, Mark Selby and current champion Neil Robertson. To tell us more, I'm pleased to welcome Head of Media for the World Snooker Tour. It's Ivan Hershowitz. Hi, Ivan.
Good afternoon.
Hello to you. Thanks for coming along today. It's a fascinating event that's here for the first time. So what was it about the town and the venue that attracted World Snooker here?
Yeah, well, snooker's always had a great affinity with Essex and this area, because if you think about it, going back over the years, so many of the all-time great players have come from Essex. Yeah. Ronnie O'Sullivan, of course, who's the best player of all time. Steve Davis, although he's a Londoner, he spent most of his life living in Essex. And then you've got some more players currently on the tour, great players like Stuart Bingham, former world champion, Ali Carter, Mark King, Matthew Selt, Zach Surety. You know, you go back over the years and there have been so many great players from Essex, but we've never really done a big event in this area.
Right.
And actually, we're part of Matchroom Sport, which is owned by Barry and Eddie Hearn, so our main office is actually only just down the road from here.
Okay.
So it absolutely made sense to do an event here at the Brentwood Centre. We've never done a big snooker event here before, but there was a big pool event here earlier this year, and that went really well, so... we can't wait for it. It starts next Monday, and you know, we've already sold a lot of tickets. All the best players in the world will be coming here to Brentwood, so it's really exciting times for this area.
Yeah, sounds fantastic. Now, I've done a bit of a background check on you, and you've been head of media for World Snooker Tour for many years. You must have covered some great stories over the years. Can you give us a couple of highlights?
Yeah, 2001 I first started working for World Snooker Tour, okay. So I've seen a lot of things come and go. I would say if I had to pick highlights, I would firstly pick out the 2005 China Open in Beijing.
Right.
That was one of the first events we'd staged in China. It was won by a player called Ding Junhui, who was only 18 at the time.
Oh, wow.
But he went on to be one of the best players in the world, and he kind of sparked this huge revolution of snooker in China.
Okay.
Snooker suddenly became massively popular in China off the back of Ding's success. And being at that event and seeing him winning it, he beat Stephen Hendry in the final. There was really a sense there of this is something big starting to happen.
Right.
And within two or three years, there were literally hundreds of millions of people watching snooker in China. So... that was incredible to see that happen. And if I had to pick one more, I would say quite similarly, in 2013, we staged a ranking event in India for the first time in Delhi.
Okay.
It was amazing just to see parts of India. We went to the Taj Mahal and saw some of the sights of Delhi. And there was an Indian player called Aditya Mehta who reached the final, although he actually ended up losing to Ding Junhui. But it's a great privilege in this job to be able to go to different places in the world, try and help spreading snooker to different parts of the globe and seeing some amazing places along the way.
Yeah, well, World Snooker has become a truly global event. You must have seen a lot of changes over the years, particularly, I guess, during the pandemic as well. But tell us about the changes, the way it's changed over the years.
Yeah, snooker was traditionally massive in the UK in the 80s, of course. Mm. There were probably 15 million people or more watching a lot of big tournaments back then. But it was always a very UK-centric sport. It wasn't that big outside the UK.
Mm.
And go back to 2010, which is when Matchroom took over the World Snooker Tour. And very quickly then we became a much more global sport because Barry Hearn kind of drove an acceleration of the popularity of snooker across the globe.
Yeah.
So we started going regularly to places like China and India. We went to Australia, Brazil, all over Europe. And so in the last sort of 10 or 12 years, snooker has become a global sport in a way it's never been before, and has a global TV audience now of something like 500 million people, which is incredible. for a sport which started out in quite small beginnings here in the UK.
Yeah, that's right. And I expect the press room has completely changed, hasn't it, from people from nations all over the world reporting in on the matches.
Yeah, absolutely, particularly at the World Championship in Sheffield, where we do, certainly before the pandemic, we were getting a lot of journalists coming over from China and various other places around the world. You know, and the World Championship obviously is our pinnacle. You know, that there's massive global interest in that event. But even in the other events, including the next week's English Open, there will be so many people around the world watching it and really kind of putting Brentwood on the map.
Yeah, fantastic. Now, a lot has been said about the pressures of the game these days with a packed programme of tournaments across the world. Do you think this has a negative impact on some of the players, or is it a good thing?
I think certainly before the pandemic, when we were up to about 30 events a season, some of the players did find that challenging because, of course, it means they're spending a lot of time away from home. Sort of, you know, they love the travelling and seeing different places, but that can take its toll if you're doing it a lot. Since the pandemic, we have less events because the events that we want to stage in China and the people we work with in China still want to do those events. But, of course, because of travel restrictions, we've not been able to go there for 3 years. But I think if you asked all the players, 99% of them would say they want to have more tournaments and more opportunities to earn prize money, because that's how they earn money, and that's how they want to just play snooker. Yeah. You know, most of them, of course, a few of the top guys who play in every event might find it challenging sometimes to have when there's a very busy schedule, but most of them just want to play.
Yeah, it's not a bad job, is it, really?
Yeah.
So it all really started on TV with Pot Black on BBC TV, didn't it? It's establishing snooker on TV using a one-frame, half-hour format. I remember it well. I can even remember the music. The game could have been made for TV. You mentioned earlier on there will be coverage for the English Open at the Brentwood Centre. That's right, isn't it? Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. And funny you should say that snooker was made for TV, because actually if you go back to the sort of late 60s, I think it was 1968, when David Attenborough was actually one of the top guys on the BBC.
Yeah.
They wanted something which showcased colour television, because colour television was a new thing. Yeah. And so they saw snooker as a way to do that, because of all the different colours, the colour of the cloth, the green cloth, and then the different colour balls.
Yeah.
So it was actually David Attenborough who decided to get snooker onto the BBC.
Yeah.
And as you say, Pot Black became very popular, sort of half-hourly weekly shows. Then by the late 70s, the BBC started showing regular coverage of the World Championship, and it just grew beyond any way that they could have imagined, into suddenly millions and millions of people were hooked on watching snooker every week.
Absolutely, including me at the time.
Yeah, yeah. Great. And as I say, now it's not just on the BBC, it's on so many other channels. So, the English Open next week, it will be on Eurosport and Discovery Plus.
Okay.
And also on Quest, which is a channel on Freeview. Some people don't even realise they've got Quest, but if you go through your Freeview, you'll find Quest there. You can watch it on there. Or if you live outside the UK, there's plenty of other places. We have a website called matchroom.live, where you can go if there's no TV broadcast in your country. You can go on there and you can watch snooker and lots of other sports, like darts and boxing and that kind of thing. So anywhere, wherever you are, anywhere in the world now, you can watch all the snooker on TV.
Smashing. You mentioned the early days of black and white TV, and there was that famous blooper from the commentator in one match. For those of you viewing in black and white, the red is behind the green.
Yeah, whispering Ted Lowe, he was the one.
That's right. I think it was. So it's the English Open starting next Monday here at the Brentwood Centre. Current champion Neil Robertson will be defending the title. Who do you see as the front runners for the trophy this year?
I mean, there are so many good players now. And what's been interesting this season so far, we're about getting towards halfway through the current season. I think we've had 6 ranking events and a couple of other big invitation events so far this season. And those have been, Ronnie O'Sullivan's won those 2 big invitation events, but he hasn't won a ranking event. And the guys who have been dominating in recent years, like Judd Trump, Mark Selby, Neil Robertson, John Higgins, Mark Williams, Zhao Xintong, none of them have won a ranking event so far this season.
Mm.
In fact, Mark Allen, he's won 2 events. He's been the player of the season so far. We just finished a tournament in Scotland last night where Gary Wilson won his first ranking title. And I think that underlined the fact that you know, even if you go outside the top 16 or even top 32, there are so many players who are capable of winning tournaments. But I think when we go into any event, we always look towards those big names, you know, like, say, O'Sullivan, Trump, Selby, Robertson, Higgins, and Mark Allen, as I say, they're probably going to be the favourites. Yeah. And, you know, it's a big field. I think there's something like between 70 and 80 players next week. So a lot of guys in there who can win it.
Right. And Ronnie O'Sullivan, who you mentioned there, he's been a friend of us here on Phoenix over the years. He seems to be playing pretty well at the moment and probably will be up there with the main contenders. I think he broke a record the other day, didn't he?
Very nearly. He almost broke the record for the fastest ever century break. Yeah, he missed it by about 3 seconds.
Oh, really?
Just held by Tony Grego, set about in 1996, I think it was.
Okay.
But it's actually Ronnie's birthday today, so he turns 47 today, so happy birthday, Ronnie.
Happy birthday, Ronnie. One. Yeah,
But amazingly, at 47, he seems to be getting better, which is scary for
everyone. He's incredible, isn't he? Absolutely.
He's world champion. He's won two big tournaments already this season.
Yeah.
Any tournament that we turn up to, he's the man. He's the one that all the players still want to beat him the most.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we could see him lift it on home soil next week.
Fantastic. And the tickets, now, they're very, very reasonably priced, starting just at just £10. Are you expecting big crowds?
Yeah, we are, actually. In fact, so it starts on Monday next week, finishes on the Sunday the 18th, and originally 3 of those days sold out.
Wow.
The Monday, the Saturday, the Sunday, to the extent we actually went back to the venue and we've actually put more seats in now.
Okay.
So we've been really pleasantly surprised by the demand for tickets, and those tickets are still selling fast. I think the thing is these days that obviously we're going through tough times, the cost of living's gone up. People still want to go out and have things to look forward to, but they want value for money.
Yeah.
And so £10 to come and see all the best snooker players in the world is unbelievable.
It's
value
fantastic.
For money, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, and if you've never seen snooker before, or even if you've watched it on TV a bit and thought, oh, I quite fancy seeing that, it's a great day out because until you get in the arena and you see how good these guys are, the kind of exquisite level of skill that they have, you can't appreciate that watching on TV.
Right.
And the other great thing about coming along is there's a Q zone where you can try have a game yourself, you can get free coaching, we'll have like a sort of Christmas theme going on, you know, with some food stalls and that sort of thing. So it's a really fun day out for anyone.
Yeah, sounds brilliant. So can you tell us how people can get hold of tickets and find out more about the English Open?
Yeah, come to our website, wst.tv, click on the button that says tickets, click on the English Open, and you'll be able to see there. It starts at £10, and I think it goes up a bit to, I think it's maybe about £30 or £35 for the final. But, well, you know, you can come along on any day, and like I say, it's a really great day out for anyone.
Well, even those prices for the final, I think, are very, very reasonable, very good. OK, Ivan. Ivan Hershowitz, thank you very much for telling us all about it. Hope it's a great success and returns to Brentwood for many years to come.
Yeah, we hope that people will come out and support this, because if they do, then, you know, this Brentwood could become our home with this tournament.
Fantastic. All right, cheers, Ivan. Thank you very much.